This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says that there would be consequences if China sends weapons to Russia for Moscow's war in Ukraine, but he's fairly optimistic that Beijing will refrain from doing so. His comments came in an interview with CNN aired Sunday, 2 days after he met with U.S. President Joe Biden in Washington. U.S. officials have warned recently that China could step off the sidelines and begin providing arms and ammunition to Moscow. Ahead of his trip, Scholz last week urged Beijing to refrain from sending weapons and instead use its influence to press Russia to withdraw its troops from Ukraine. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in Jordan to begin a three-country Mideast visit is aiming to reassure key allies of American commitment to the region despite Washington's recent focus on Russia and China. More from VOA's Joe Ramsey.
The Pentagon chief, who arrived in Amman on Sunday, is expected to press Israeli leaders to reduce tensions in the West Bank and work to strengthen ties and talks with Egyptian leaders while touching on human rights concerns. The United States has about 30,000 troops in the region and is seen as pivotal in helping counter Iranian influence. Retired U.S. Marine Corps General Frank McKenzie, who headed American forces in the Middle East until last year, said the region is significant to the United States in part because of China's growing role. Joe Ramsey, VOA News, Washington.
The governor of northern Ukraine's Kharkiv region and province says that Russian shelling has destroyed five homes and killed at least one person about 30 kilometers from the Russian border. The area has come under frequent attacks, even though Russian ground forces withdrew nearly 6 months ago. More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. South Korea says it'll raise local civilian funds to compensate Koreans who won damages in lawsuits against Japanese companies that enslaved them during World War II. Seoul's announcement reflects conservative President Yoon Suk-yeol's determination to mend frayed ties with Japan and solidify a trilateral Seoul-Tokyo-Washington security cooperation to better cope with North Korea's nuclear threats. But the announcement is expected to draw strong backlash from former forced laborers and their supporters who have demanded direct compensation from the Japanese companies. South Korean Foreign Minister Park Jin told a televised news conference Monday the victims would be compensated through a local foundation that would be funded by civilian donations. In a ceremony that honors the past and warns of the future, U.S. President Joe Biden called for a new commitment to voting rights at a commemoration of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
There were religious overtones to the solemn ceremony at the Edmund Pettus Bridge, where on March 7, 1965, scores of peaceful civil rights marchers were brutally attacked by police.
Beaten, tear gassed. On this bridge, blood was given to help redeem the soul of America.
President Biden notes the country's outrage helped secure passage of a voting rights bill, which now, he says, remains under attack. And new laws since the 2020 election.
Fueled by the big lie.
What do we want?
Voting rights!
He and civil rights leaders locked hands crossing the bridge, remembering the activists beaten that day, including the late Congressman John Lewis, and vowing to continue their work. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Station master accused of causing Greece's deadliest train disaster has been charged with neglect, homicide, and jailed pending trial. An examining magistrate and a prosecutor agreed that multiple counts of homicide as well as charges of causing bodily harm and endangering transportation safety should be brought against the railway employee. At least 57 people were killed when a northbound passenger train and a southbound freight train collided late Tuesday in central Greece. The 59-year-old station master allegedly directed the two trains traveling in opposite directions onto the same track. A crisis over suspected poisonings targeting Iranian schoolgirls is escalating, as authorities now acknowledge over 50 schools have been struck in a wave of possible cases. It remains unclear who or what is responsible, since the alleged poisonings began in November in the Shiite holy city of Qom. Reports now suggest schools across 21 of Iran's 30 provinces have been suspected cases, with girls' schools the site of nearly all the incidents. I'm Tommy McNeil,